Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, it's hour number three of Bart and Han. Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. It is the power hour. We got game one tonight, Knicks and the Pacers. And I told you to keep listening because you just never know who we're going to pop on. And right now, one of my favorite people in the world, one of my favorite players ever, Patrick Ewing, joining us right now, the former Knick great, Hall of Famer, and coach, and everything else that you could just throw to. I can't even count all the different accolades to give him. I'm just going to say, how you doing, Pat?
Hey, see, I was just going to let you keep on going, you know, and, you know, kill yourself with all these accolades that you're giving me.
You know, it's crazy. I almost put my Ewings on today, man. I'm trying to get my calves stronger. You know what I'm saying? So I have to walk like a block to the studio.
How you doing?
Great. What's up, man? You want me to do it? I'll do it. 11-time All-Star, 7-time All-NBA, 3-time All-Defense.
We're good.
The 75th anniversary team in the NBA and everything else with him. Oh, Olympian, gold medalist, all that stuff. But I tell you what, Pat, like – When I tell you Knicks Pacers playoffs, I mean, do you have memories that come back immediately when you think about it?
Oh, definitely. It's funny, John Starks and I were talking about that series just this morning. You know, we had some great battles against that team and that franchise. You know, Reggie, Mark, the Davis boys, Rick Smith. You know, I'm looking forward to the Knicks doing a great job of defeating them in this series.
Now, when you look back, and you know, sometimes when we retire, we go back. Was this the best or the most entertaining rivalry that you had during your playing days? When you think about what was at stake, and you think about the history of it, was this the funnest one to be a part of?
I think all of them. You know, if you look at the Knicks versus Indiana, yes. The Knicks versus the Heat, yes. You know, with Pat Riley and myself and Alonzo Mourning going against each other. The Knicks against the Bulls. Unfortunately, we weren't able to beat those guys a lot, especially when it counted. But, you know, I was fortunate enough to have some great rivalry games, series, I should say, mm-hmm. against all these great teams.
Isn't it amazing, too? It always feels like certain teams, you always see them, right? Like whether it's Miami last year, the Heat, you guys had those rivalries, or the Pacers this year. It's like, man, we always see you guys. Like, it's just funny how that works out that way. Is your – and your career, you had a million great moments. But would you say your favorite moment as a player – was the putback dunk and then standing on the scorer's table with your arms outstretched, Game 7, 1994, when you knocked off the Pacers and finally got to the promised land, the NBA Finals. Is that a moment that you feel like was the pinnacle for you?
Definitely. Definitely. That game, that series, that team, you know, the battle. It's funny because, you know, when in 85, it's between the Knicks and the Pacers to see who was going to be able to draft me.
That's right.
And then fast forward all those years to, you know, playing against them and me being able to finally get to the championship games. Unfortunately, we weren't able to pull it out and come away with the championship. But that game and that series, you know, John is a play that we run. We ran a lot back then, the pick and roll between he and I, and he was able to get to the cup. Unfortunately, missed the layup. I was messing with him about that the other day when I was at the game. And, you know, me being at the right spot to be able to put it back in and just, you know, the roar of the crowd, the roar of the celebration of the fight with the fans, I think that everything that – we had gone through, you know, or I have gone through with my career there in New York. I just think that all that was, you know, was the culmination of everything.
You know, in New York, you got to have broad shoulders, and you had the broadest of them all. But you also understand the gravity of having to be the guy that's the guy. And, you know, we have a unsung hero, a guy who has become the guy, Jalen Brunson. What type of pressure or what is it like to be the guy and have all the expectations on your shoulders, you know, for the New York Knicks?
Well, I think that they picked the right guy to be the guy. You know, I've been knowing him since he was a little kid when his dad, you know, dad played with us. I coached against him when he was at Villanova. He kicked my ass for 2 years. I was happy when he left. and he just has broad shoulders. He has thick skin. You can tell by the way that he competes, the way that he plays. I just love everything about him.
You have known him since he was a kid. You know his dad, obviously, as a teammate as well. We had Jamal Crawford on earlier. He was in Chicago when Rick was finishing up his career. He said, I saw Jalen. You just knew because of, I guess, the foundation, right? Knowing the dad, knowing the family and all that stuff. Like it was, is there anything about that you could say when you watch Jalen Brunson? Is there a part of you? Like, not to say that he grew up with you guys, because he did spend a lot of his time in Chicago, but there was a foundation. There's sort of like this influence from the very beginning that makes it feel like he's a relative Nick, doesn't it?
Oh yeah, he's definitely a Nick. I mean, he was always around when I mean, I played. I don't even know how many years his dad played with us, but you know, he was always around. He was always in the locker room. You know, he was always in my locker messing with me. You know, it's just I just think that it's great to see it come full circle to see where he started. I remember, you know, I don't even remember what year it was. I took the Knicks and some of my teammates to Jamaica, back home to my homeland.
Mm-hmm.
And Rick came, and Rick and the family came, and I just remember, you know, it's just great seeing pictures of him. And you know, I think he might have been about two with my two older daughters. Just having fun. You know, I just love the man that he's become. You know, you see the player that he's become, but not just a player, but just a great man.
It's crazy because, you know, back in the day when you guys were playing, you mentioned the Davis brothers, you guys were kind of built similarly. It seems like this Knicks team and this Pacers team are totally opposites. One, you know, slower pace, the other, you know, wants to put up a lot of threes. Like, put your coach's hat on. You know, what do you think are some of the advantages potentially for, you know, the Knicks on this side and on the flip side with Indiana in this matchup? What do you see in this matchup?
Well, for, you know, with the Knicks, I just love their toughness. They're tough. They're mentally and physically tough. They have a great play in Brunson. His supporting cast is solid. They're gonna do everything that they need to do to come away with a win. It might be ugly, but that's what you got to do to be able to come away to win. Indiana, you know, they're up tempo, they're high octane. They want to get up and down the floor. They want to shoot a lot of threes. But I think the Knicks, they can muck it up. They can do it. You know, I love their bigs. I love our bigs. You know, they're gonna get in there. They're gonna be physical. They're not gonna make anything easy for any of them. And one of the things that we did great in the last series was rebound the basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And that if we continue to rebound the basketball the way that we did in that series, I think it's going to be a hard-fought series for Indiana.
Patrick Ewing joining us here on the show. And speaking of the bigs, Mitchell Robinson is the longest tenured Nick on this team, and he has been a bit of a project since they drafted him as a second-round pick. And he has come on. And before his injury, he was the best offensive rebounding center in the game. His numbers were you know, told that story, but also when you watched him, he got you extra possessions. What do you see in Mitchell Robinson, and is there more that he can become as an NBA center?
You know, it's hard for me to say because I haven't really watched him that much. When I was, you know, coaching at Georgetown, I rarely watched a lot of our games. I was more concerned with, you know, recruiting and going to find guys that can help me. But, you know, from everything that I've seen and heard, he works hard. Unfortunately, he got hurt and, you know, is making his way back. But I think his future is bright. Both those big futures are bright. And you know, the center position has definitely changed from when I played. You know, now it's more of a unless you're Embiid or Jokic, you're, you know, those are the two dominant bigs in the game. Unless you're those two guys, most of the centers in this era, they're all role players.
Do you think about your game? You were one of the first like great jump shooting big men. You brought that into the NBA. If you played today, how many threes would you take a game?
You know, it's funny. I don't know how many threes I would have taken, but because of the way that basketball is played right now, I know I would have taken a lot more than I did. You know, like you said, I was. I remember when I first got into the league, they were like, he's taking too many jump shots. You know, and now in this era, that's most basically all the bigs do. That's all everyone do. The floor, the court is spaced, it's wide open. You know, there's not too many things that the defense can do. when I played, it was much way more physical. You could, you know, hand check and be more physical with guys, and you can't do that now.
I'm going to look at your career from three right now because I need to know as I'm looking at this. You took 125 threes in your entire career. I don't want to say your shooting percentage from there, but I do remember one you hit in the playoffs in Boston, a turnaround corner three that put that series away. I think it was 1990, if I'm not mistaken. No, that was a memorable shot.
I remember that. Yeah, I would have said about 20 or 30. I would not have said 100. That's a lot.
125 total. There was one year, your max in a year was 28. 96 season, wow. you were 4-for-28. I think you'd do a lot better if you had more. I think you just needed to shoot more of them. That's what it always is, right? The more you shoot, the more rhythm that you'd get into. But
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the experience you had though, you know, in your 15 years with the Knicks, not only is it make the playoffs every year, which we took for granted, and years after that we learned not to. But also I always say that the Knicks jersey is the heaviest jersey in the league, the weight of expectations, the demands and everything else that comes with it. Can you explain that to those listening that, again, there's a lot of listeners now that did not live through the years that we all did in the 90s and how every year the Knicks were one of the elite teams in the league and you were one of the best players in the league. This is new, having a player like Jalen Brunson. They had Carmelo for just a couple of years, but this is kind of new. Can you explain what that's like when it's not only you're one of the best players in the league, but you're important because it's the Knicks and it's New York and there's a different kind of demand on you than maybe anybody else?
Yeah, I mean, I think you just hit the nail on the head. You know, you're in New York. You're in the Mecca. You're, you know, media capital of the world. Everything that you're under spotlight. You know, everything that you do on the floor is going to help you, you know, in his marketing ability off the floor. Everything that he does off the floor helps him on the floor. I think that, you know, when you look at the things that Jalen has done, not only this year, but last year, I think that he's proven how great he is and how great he's going to continue to be as long as he stays healthy. And, it's great that he's in New York. You know, the NBA needs for New York to have a great team. That's only going to help the marketability of the league.
When you played, you had a connection with all of your coaches, especially obviously Jeff Van Gundy. And I always felt that's important when the coach and the star, you know, are on the same page. That's critical. That exists here also with Jalen Brunson and Tom Thibodeau, who also you've known a long time. What do you say? Go ahead.
I've known Tom since from my playing days,
right?
With the Knicks when he coached on Jeff's staff. And yes, I think it's great that the star player and the coach are on the same page and see eye to eye. And I love the fact that, you know, both Jalen and Tom are seeing things the way that they need to be said, them to be seen. I love it. I think Tom is a great coach. I think he works extremely hard to get his team prepared and him and himself prepared. And I think that the team is going to be prepared to go into this battle tonight.
You know, the story of these playoffs may be the health of stars, right? We see that Porzingis got hurt up in Boston. We see Jamal Murray is injured. you know, and it's, it kind of leaves that what could be or what could have been, you know, if you know, Julius Randle was still healthy. You know, when you think about the future of this team in the core, like, what's the fine line, you know, as a coach, as far as, you know, building on what you have or going out to search for something else when you consider, like, you know, going forward? I know we want to live in the present, but, you know, I just want to look in the future a little bit.
Well, I mean, to me, you got to do whatever you think is going to help your team improve. Is it adding pieces to your core that you already have now, or drafting? I mean, we're doing so well this year that I don't even know what kind of what picks we'll have. You know, and I think this year the draft is not going to be that strong. I just think that, you know, whichever way that they decide to go, either adding pieces, which is always something that needs to be done. Either by the draft, either by trade, or, you know, free agents.
Reggie Miller is supposed to be in the building Wednesday doing the game for TNT in game two. Do you feel like do you still go back and forth with Reggie? I mean, is those old rivalries still exist when either you cross paths or any of that stuff? Or even if you are hearing him calling a game, if you're watching it, or even if you're in the building. Like, I think you need to be in the building Wednesday just to balance it out.
Well, you know, for a time it did, but not anymore. It's been so long, and Reggie's had a great career. When we played against him, after I was gone, he's had a great career, and he's done a great job in his post-playing career. I'm just happy for him and his success. But, you know, I'm rooting for the Knicks. Once a Knick, always a Knick.
It's the best way to leave it. I know I said I was going to keep you for 10 minutes. I lied, which, you know, I always try to get a little more than I ask for. But I appreciate you know that as always. I love you, man. Thanks so much, big fella. Appreciate you.
Y'all have a good one.
All right.
I'm going to put my Ewings on. I'm going to put my Ewings on today so I can get my calves right for the summertime.
I know I'm going to hear it from him. He's going to send me, like, you said 10 minutes. We went 18. Oh, well.
Well, that's because you had to read the accolades and they were so long.
That's true.
That don't count when you have to read the accolades. The intro took 2 minutes.
That certainly is true. But there's a lot, like, you know, to talk to him about. Like, to me, what other perspective are you getting from somebody that, like, who can relate more to what Jalen Brunson's going through than him? As far as, okay, you're here, you showed us you can be that guy, and now what do you think all of New York is asking? Can you win us a championship? Right? Like, that's that's what comes with this. It's, okay, now that I see that you're the guy, that you're that guy, now can you win the championship? Because it's been 50 years. It's been forever. Like, it's somebody's got to do it. Melo went through this. It was the same thing. Melo showed up, and immediately it's like, okay, so how long is it going to take you to win us a championship and end this drought? Like, right out of the gate. You know, Patrick dealt with this year in and year out for like 15 years. Year in and year out. How about this year? How about this year? And every year, Patrick said, when they asked him, what's the goal? He would say it every year, to win a championship.
Yeah.
My goal is to win a championship. They'd lose in the playoffs, and he'd say the same thing. Next year, my goal is to win a championship. Patrick every year would say it. And every year you believed him. That's a different thing.
When you get to playoffs. 15.
No, but think about it. But think about it. Every year you believed him because every year you thought he could. He had a chance. Now, obviously, Jordan was in the way. And that was always going to be something that felt overwhelming. And there were years that you thought they could beat him and they never got to him. That was frustrating. Then there were other years you ran into him and you lost to him. Then there was the two seasons he wasn't there. And you got to the finals. But that's something, that weight, it's like Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers showed up in New York and it's the very first thing. Hi, Aaron. So how long is it going to take till you win a Super Bowl? Because it's been 55 years.
Aaron got right to it. He said, like, that trophy looking, he didn't even give him a chance. Embraced it. He was like, hey, man, that trophy case is looking a little lonely.
He embraced it. And I think for Patrick to look at Jalen Brunson and say, I know exactly what you're dealing with. And this is still new.
And it's new for him because I think when he first got here, nobody had those expectations because they didn't think that he was worth the money.
That's right. Well, first people thought he was
underpaid.
Now he's underpaid. And now it becomes, though, no matter what happens in this series, Bart, it does feel like from here on out, Jalen's going to be looked at and measured now to a different standard that only a select few players have been held to. And Patrick's one of them. In the last 50 years, there's been three players held to that standard. Bernard King, and he broke down. The knee went on him, and that was it.
Mello.
Patrick and Mello. There's no one else that has been held to that standard. And I think, regardless of this series, because even if they don't win this series, there's going to be this sense of, okay, now you got to build around Brunson.
Go get him help.
Which is what Ewing said, right? Like, Patrick didn't even deny it. He's like, no. Every year you're looking to get better. How do you get better?
Got to get him a star.
And that's going to be the thing.
Is Randle the right star, or is it another star that they need?
They have to figure all that stuff out.
Because now, before, it was like, okay, these two playing together. Now, it's clear who's the alpha male, who's the leader.
Right.
Before the season
Great
started,
point.
It was like, is it Julius? Is it not? I think now we know we have to build around this guy.
Yep. And Patrick said it too. Patrick said it
right.
as well.
We got to build around this guy.
Like, you know what he is now.
So Julius may not be that guy, because even though Julius is great, this guy's better. And because he's something that you've been looking for forever, which is a point guard, we see all these great teams.
Mm-hmm.
How funny it always comes down to guard play.
Look at Phoenix.
Look how important Mike Conley is.
Yep.
To, like, with all those three stars.
Yep.
Edwards, Gobert.
Cat.
Mm-hmm.
They need the point guard.
It's Mike Conley that gets it done.
Yep.
So the fact that your star that can carry you is also the point guard is like a double bonus.
That's it. That's your quarterback. Now I got to get a great wide receiver. So,
exactly. And I don't know if Randle may be the tight end. And they might have to trade in the tight end for a great wide receiver.
Maybe.
And that wide receiver could be a great wing.
We don't know. But, you know, Woj was on with Gordon Damer over the weekend.
What?
And he did say that's the one thing now, right? Because what did Ewing say? And Jamal Crawford said this too earlier in the show. You got a player now that other players are going to say, I want to be part of that. I want to play with a guy like that. He's that kind of player.
The garden is lit, son.
Right, exactly. It's a good place to go to now because this guy's carrying the weight. I don't have to come in and be a savior now. I can come in and help, which is a lot easier to do.
Come on, Devin Booker. Come on, man.
So here's Woj with Gordon Damer about the options the Knicks are going to have this offseason.
This is going to be a summer where there could be some significant players available, and the Knicks have their picks. They have young players. They have their pick swaps. They have other teams' picks. And I think, you know, you kind of get through the season. You see what it looks like, maybe positionally, where you think you're best. You know, do you want to add to the front line? Do you want to add to the backcourt? They're in a position to be picky about where they go all in on. But if they decide they want somebody, I don't know that there's a team that has maybe more to offer. If you got into a situation where there was a high-profile player available, and I think if you're the Knicks, you could give up a lot without giving up the core and this group that has made you feel like, you know, you've got a burgeoning contender here.
See, I think that's the important part, that last part. So many people are afraid of, you know, you can't gut your team for a star. And what Woj is saying is they don't have to.
Yeah, you can't get much. Some guys got to let guys go because of the luxury tax.
And the picks, it's like, you know, we're less need now. Yeah. F them picks.
Mm-hmm.
Like we'll give you picks. Like that. Like, I think if you're the Knicks, you're not as worried about holding on to draft picks as you are holding on to pieces that you know. Like, you got a 7-man rotation right now.
Yeah.
Like,
you know where Julius would be great at?
Where?
OKC, they need a big guy, a strong guy. They need some girth. They need a strong, powerful guy on their squad. They too little. They too skinny. They too light in the ass. It'd be good in OKC.
You think that would work? Okay.
It'd be good in OKC.
All right, so how do we feel about Patrick? 800-919-3776. There is more to come, which includes your calls. Like I said, you never know who's calling in. I'm texting friends and just seeing who wants to talk to Knicks.
Mr. Telephone.
You never know who might pop on the show the rest of this week and through the playoffs, because that's how we're going to do this. So Patrick was great. We thank him. Jamal Crawford was fantastic. If you missed it, it'll be all on the podcast as well. So stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7.
Call
ESPN.
Up Mello.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
So you remember the caller brought up what Jimmy Butler did earlier? First of all, you remember it was game three in Miami, and Jared Greenberg was interviewing Jimmy Butler.
Don't let us get
and
one.
Butler, but no, and Butler said... first he did put out the meme of that don't let us get one, right?
Yeah.
Remember they got game one. Well, game two. And then they interviewed Jimmy and he's just like, you know, we're about to go up 2-1 in the series. Like he was very like arrogant about everything. And then of course they didn't win another game. And then after the series is over, somebody caught up with Jimmy Butler and he started not only trolling the Celtics, but he brought up the Knicks.
Yep. If I was playing, Boston would be at home. New York, damn sure would be at home. Y'all talk.
He went into Tibbs and everything else. So he said all that. So the Heat today are having their exit interviews and their goodbyes and everything else with the media. Here's Pat Riley when asked about Jimmy Butler's comments about if I was playing and all that stuff. Listen to Pat Riley.
You know, for him to say that, you know, I thought, is that Jimmy trolling or is that Jimmy serious? You know, if you're not on the court playing against Boston or on the court playing against the New York Knicks, you should keep your mouth shut in your criticism of those teams.
Damn.
Wow. Pat Riley doesn't play, man.
Yeah.
Like, remember, LeBron James is no longer in Miami because Pat Riley wasn't going to acquiesce to LeBron James. LeBron James, as the story goes...
Yo, fire coaches here, Paul.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't happy with Spo. Pat Riley's like, we are not firing Eric Spoelstra. Also, LeBron wanted preferential treatment for his family to travel on the charter. Which Pat Riley's like, you're not separate from everybody else. You're getting the same benefits as everyone else. Yeah. This is a team. This is how we do things. And LeBron didn't like it. And that's when the split started to happen. And so... You know, for Riley, yeah, is it a gamble because you just lost the best player in the world? It is, but what you also didn't lose is your franchise.
Yeah.
Right?
Your locker room, your culture.
You didn't lose your culture. You didn't lose what you're about. Now, have they won a championship since? No.
They went to two. They had a
chance. But they got to a finals.
Twice.
And I think it says a lot, though, for Riley now to do that with Butler because there's another one of your main guys.
Because Jimmy wants a max.
And it's interesting that
113.
Yep. And he's 36.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. It's interesting that Riley would say it the way he said it.
Yeah, get him up out of here.
Because it's almost like him reminding people, you are not bigger than the team, and this is not what we do. Yeah. Like, I kind of found that.
We win and lose with class.
I found that interesting. You keep your mouth shut. I mean, that's a strong statement.
That's like...
Damn.
Get him up out of there.
Strong statement from Riles.
Send him back. Send him up to Philly.
Meanwhile, I want people to know that I am aware of the Oakley comments about Brunson being the best Knick since Clyde Frazier, passing over, of course, Charles Oakley's teammate, Patrick Ewing, who we just had on the show moments ago. you know, I'm not getting, like, Pat's not going to get involved in that back and forth. Like, he's not going to do that. And so Mark Jackson did it for him. So here's Mark Jackson. You know, Mark has his own
podcast,
his own
man.
Show now.
Started by Cam and Mace, man.
Yeah. And
talking
so
to it's good too. It's inspiring. It kind of reminds you of Rev Run when you just have the show and then he'd be
Mark's
in a
like that.
Then he'd be in a bathtub at the end. he has like a saying every day when you talk about it.
Yep.
Oh, it's amazing. He had one about Bill Russell.
I want to get Mark on the show at some point during this series. Because remember, Mark obviously played for the Pacers, those Nick Pacers series. But he also was a teammate of Patrick Ewing's, famously, of course, in the late 80s. And in the early 90s. And so Mark had this to say about Oakley, saying that Ewing wasn't really a great leader and that Brunson is the best Nick since Clyde Frazier.
We love Oak. Oak's a warrior, a tremendous teammate, tremendous guy. But Oak made the statement that Jalen Brunson is the greatest New York Nick basketball player since Clyde Frazier. Timeout. Are you kidding me? Again, I love you, Oak, but what are we doing? Let me introduce you again to the greatest, not just since Clyde Frazier, the greatest New York Nick basketball player of all time. That includes everybody. You put everybody that ever played in the blue and orange, and you put them on a draft board, the number one pick, is Patrick Ewing. So that's nothing against Jalen Brunson and what he's been able to accomplish and the incredible year that he's put together and what he's going to do moving forward. But it is beyond question, no question, that this guy is the best to ever do it in blue and orange.
I'm with him. I've said the same thing. You know, do you want to move him past Carmelo this quickly? You can, just based on playoff success, because he's already gone to 2 second rounds. And Melo only was able to get his team out of the first round one time. Now, it's hard to blame Melo for a lot of this stuff. There was the injuries in the first time around. They got injuries the second time around against stacked Miami team. And then year three, they finally get there. And then year four, they don't get back. And they never went back to the playoffs again. So, you know, I don't want to make this about how Melo failed. But when you look at playoff success, has Brunson already had more success playoff-wise than Carmelo? Yes. He had a 61-point game. Melo had a 62-point game. So there's a lot of similarities, at least there, short-term success. But, I mean, come on. Willis Reed, the great Willis Reed, God rest his soul, used to reference Ewing as the best player in Knicks history.
I mean, what, he did
I mean
for
Willis
15,
Reed
he did for
15, said that.
He did it for 15 years in the same place, man.
15 years getting to the playoffs. And not being like a, you know, bounced out in the first round making the playoffs. They were a formidable team year after year after year. And so I know what Oakley's doing here. He's not happy with Patrick because of all the stuff that's gone on with the Garden. Everybody's been trying to get Oak to just, you know, bury the hatchet and let's just get back on good terms because life is short. And he doesn't want to do it.
It's tough, man, when you feel like you've been embarrassed.
I understand.
Done wrong.
I understand,
like,
all that.
It's like,
but
like,
don't get mad at guys that are trying to smooth it over. And I think there's just an animosity there that has built up. And Patrick tried, and that's it. So
at this point,
but
man.
But I'm like, glad that Mark did this instead of Patrick having to do it. Mark did it.
What is what point guards do?
You're right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. They always make you better, don't they? That's what you love about Mark Jackson. Love to get him on the show at some point, too. He'd be great to have
on. I'm telling you, like, every day. Like, I don't know if he does that on his show every day where he signs off, like, with a Maury Povich point.
Yeah.
But if he had that, I would subscribe to just that as an app.
Well, he's a preacher. You know that.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he does that stuff.
Yeah, Deacon Durow.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, if Tom could find the one that he said about, he said something about Bill Russell.
Okay.
About Bill Russell being cut from his JV team. He ended with a quote like that. I'm telling you, make your skin, make your hair on your arm. Because he got that deep voice.
It's yeah.
Like, man, don't. Like, that, yo.
No, he's got
it's
a way.
High five. If you can find that time, we should play that next. It's only like 30 seconds, if that.
He's got
but
a
it's
way.
Dope.
He definitely, he's got a way about him. No question
said,
about
son,
it. Son. 800-919-3776.
Son, I don't coach JV.
Is the number. We got a lot of people been on hold for a long time. That includes Gary and Howell. Gary, we apologize, but it's been a busy day, as you know. How you doing?
Good. How you guys doing today?
All right. Good.
This is actually my second time trying to call in. I don't know if you guys remember, like, Thursday I tried calling and I ended up being on mute without realizing.
Oh,
you guys hung up. It was tragic. I wanted to talk Knicks Sixers, but that's in the past. So what are you gonna do?
Well, welcome back. Let's talk Knicks Pacers.
Let's go.
Yeah. I think this series will be, honestly, I think it'll be a little bit of an easier series. I don't want to say, you know, I don't want to undermine what the Pacers have done this season. I think they're a great team, but I think the Knicks match up well with them, especially with OG being able to guard Siakam. I think OG, in terms of his defense against any wing or power forward player, he can handle them all day. You know, guys like Maxey might have been a little too quick for him. Maxey's great, obviously. And I think the Knicks just got to stick to what they were doing, you know, just let the offense run through Brunson and, you know, have them, you know, take that mid-range or kick it out to the shooters. And I think the shooters are going to be on because, you know, they've showed guys like Hart and McBride and Dante all hit big shots. So I think these guys stick to what they're doing. And one key thing is they can't let the Pacers, you know, come down and score on the fast break.
Quick
I know the
strike.
Pacers like to,
yeah.
Yeah, like to run a lot. And, you know, with those three balls going up, you know, I don't mind guys like Hart and obviously Mitch and Hartenstein crashing the boards. But I think it's got to be a focal point that you got to get back on defense if a shot's going up.
Yeah, the biggest thing, Gary, and thanks for the call. Good insight. It's really the leak out stuff. They're so good.
Yeah.
That you'll score on a make.
That's when I don't get no damn free throws.
And they'll just write down the floor.
That's when I don't get no rebounds.
Yeah, like they'll write down the floor. Boom.
But I think that, you know, if the Pacers really want to be competitive, they're going to have to get down there and try and rebound. And that requires everybody, which is going to slow their transitions out. You know what I mean? Because it's hard to go and fast break and get the advantage when you ain't got people leaking out.
Yeah, I think they don't care. I'm telling you. I think their whole thing is they'll score on cherry picking. Well, you see, Toppin does it all the time.
Yeah.
They send him because he'll defend a three. And instead of blocking out the three-point shooter, which, by the way, if you're the three-point shooter,
you got
to
go.
You have two choices.
Around.
You either have to get back or go in. If you think it's going to miss,
go get it.
Because nobody's blocking you out. So there's that to think about, but there's also those leak outs. Siakam will do it too. So he'll go down the floor quick, and he's so good in transition.
So is that Hart because Hart's a great rebound. He's in extra possessions. He's down there.
Yep.
Does he got to kind of stay back?
I think DiVincenzo's the guy that's got
to
find a way that
to get back.
Shot goes up, you got to get back. Like DiVincenzo almost has to be the first guy back.
How tall is DiVincenzo?
6'4".
How tall is Hart?
6'4".
I don't know.
Oh, they're all little,
I don't know.
Man.
I'll be thinking Hart like 6'6", 6'8".
Hart plays like he's 6'8". But he's 6'4".
Oh, okay. Because yeah. I was about to say, like, well, you don't want DiVincenzo back because what if it's Siakam? He can't stop more defense.
I've interviewed all three of them.
You looking down to
and all three of them, when you know, because a lot of times the stage managers take photos, you know, behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah.
And every time the photo is taken, they give it to me, and I'm always like, I have the most useless height. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's like, wow, you're bigger than him. And I'm like, yeah, but it doesn't matter, does
yeah,
it?
Yeah, he can jump out the
gym. It's the most useless.
You rang.
I mean, that's all I got for you, baby. let's see. Look, again, more people. I want to get to the ones that have been waiting the longest because I feel bad. Let's go to Mark in Brooklyn. What's up, Mark?
Merk. What's going on, guys? How are you?
All right, good.
I think the Knicks will handle this series much easier than the Sixers, but I wanted to touch on a point. You know, I heard the interview on Jalen Brunson and OG on their friendship with Tyrese Haliburton and Pascal Siakam.
Yep.
It's just a different mindset. I mean, I know OG's a dog, and I know Brunson is a pit bull, but back in the day, you know, they would have said it straight out. There's no friendship right now. You know, they're in our way, and that's the only thing that's stopping us right now, and there's no friendship going.
That was said.
But Mark,
that was also said, though.
Yeah, Mark, I believe you can have that balance. I think the people that had the balance like that was Isaiah and Magic. Like, they kiss each other, hang out, stay each other's house, and then they try to take each other's heads off.
Yeah. But honestly, the Haliburton-Brunson relationship and also Hart, they all played together for Team USA at the Worlds this past summer.
Yeah.
So they spent a lot of time together and they became friends. They actually have a group chat. But they even said during the season when they played each other that stuff's out. Like they know, like on the court.
I try to kill my boys better than
because you want to have that upper hand. You don't want to hear
him. Because
you're
going to see them.
Yes.
Yeah. Like you're going to see them and they family going to see it. They're going to talk stuff.
So you know, like Hart and TJ McConnell, Hart was like calling TJ McConnell a little.
Yeah.
Ish,
it ain't
right?
It ain't personal.
And he was saying, but I love the way he plays because that's how he plays. He's that kind of guy, and I respect him. He said, like, when I go to Indy, he gives me a bottle of wine, and when he comes to New York, I give him a bottle of wine. They're both big wine drinkers.
Hmm.
And he said, during this series, we're not exchanging wine. There's no wine going on here.
Drink my own wine, punk.
You know what I mean? Like, so I get it. It's a different era. And we all want the Reggie versus John Starks. We want John Starks headbutting and Anthony Mason flexing.
It could get to that.
We love that.
During the game. But ain't gonna beef with you outside.
By the way, if you didn't remember, the games at the Garden had a little extra something to them.
The chip.
Like those guys, and it's really more about the Garden crowd than it is the Knicks.
Yeah.
They play to that stuff because it's such a tough place to play, and the ferociousness of the crowd and the energy of the crowd. They, you know, the Pacer players responded more to that stuff than they did to anything else. So while, yes, there is friendships among them, this is not going to be a buddy-buddy series by any stretch of the imagination. The Knicks certainly know they can't play that way. All right, we'll finish up with some calls and final thoughts as we get you ready for game one tonight between the Knicks and the Pacers at the Garden. The second round series begins. So we'll finish up with calls and final thoughts.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Major international soccer coming to New York this summer. FC Series and Soccer Champions Tour presents Manchester City and AC Milan at Yankee Stadium July 27th. Enter for your chance to score tickets at ESPNNewYork.com or on the ESPN New York app. Scroll down to contest, submit your entry. Two grand prize winners will also receive either a Man City or AC Milan jersey. Watch some of the best teams in the world. Don't miss out. Get your tickets now at fcseries.com. You want some a little bit of insight on this Knicks-Pacers series?
Yeah.
So ESPN Bet has the Knicks favored -270, Pacers at +210. Tonight's game, the line right now is 5.5 in favor of the Knicks. 5.5 seems interesting.
Another tight one.
This is the 8th playoff meeting between the Knicks and the Pacers. There's been a long and storied history between them. The Pacers, though, have the lead in the all-time series 4-3 because they've won the last two series. Remember, 2013 with Paul George, a young Paul George.
Yeah.
They won game one, and then they took the series in the second round against a Knick team that had, you know, not just Melo, but Tyson Chandler, Amari Stoudemire, Jason Kidd, Rasheed Wallace. You know, that was a stacked team that just ran out of gas in that series. Never forget, Roy Hibbert blocked a dunk by Melo.
Yeah, one finger, right?
So, what a block that was.
That was the last play he ever made.
Yeah, maybe.
It was like the death of the big man.
He said his hand was messed up ever since after that block. So that was 2013, the second round. Then also the Knicks lost to the Pacers. It was Ewing's last game. The 2000 Eastern Conference Finals, they lost that series. Remember, Reggie finally overcame the Knicks and got to the finals anyway. He did beat the Knicks in 95.
And they went and got their ass blew out.
And then, yeah, that did not
waste
work out well
time.
In 2000. But I'm telling everybody right
now.
My 2000? Yeah, right?
Yeah, lost to the Lakers, got their ass whooped.
So, for me, For me, it's very simple. I say winner of game one is critical. People always talk about what game matters most in a series. I'm telling you, Bart, game one, this game tonight is critical. Not only is it 75% of the time in the second round in the NBA's history, the winner of game one goes on to win the series, 75% of the time. So there's that. But how about in just the series history between the Knicks and the Pacers? The team that wins game one has won the series all seven times. So every single time you win game one, you win the series.
So bet the series after tonight.
So you got to, like, this is what makes tonight so important. You got to win this game. Very, very important. So as I've mentioned, I think it's a big matchup on many levels. Rebounding is big. That's going to be huge in favor of the Knicks. You know the Pacers are going to be aware of it. So what do they do adjustment-wise to try to counter what is a great rebounding Knicks team, especially on the offensive glass? That's key. Pace is going to be key. Bench scoring, which the Pacers are the best in the league. They have depth. They can score off the bench. The Knicks, not as much, especially with the injury to Bogdanovich. But Bart, pretty simply, it's just going to come down to the stars. And Jalen Brunson and Tyrese Halliburton are the stars. And how much these two guards generate offensively, points and assists, to me, is going to be the difference.
But one has two stars and one has
one. Yeah, Pascal Siakam, right. And that's OG Anunoby's matchup. So he's going to have an impact on this series.
It's got to be an equalizer.
Keep Siakam or at least in check or score with him. But don't you think it's really about that? It's still, this is another Jalen Brunson series.
You got two
another
conductors.
Moment.
You got two conductors.
Yep.
Who can play the best symphony?
Maestros, right? That's really what this is certainly going to be about. The coaching is going to be great because you have two great coaches. Rick Carlisle has been there, done that. He's not going to get rattled. I actually think if you get out of this series, you'll face lesser experienced coaches, whether it's Mazzulla, who tends to be a little overwhelmed at times, and if somehow, some way the Cavs win. I mean, Bickerstaff, you know, you've already run circles around him. But let's just do one thing at a time. To me, game one tonight is what matters most. So we saved the best for last, Bart, because we had Patrick Ewing. We thank him and Jamal Crawford as well. But as we know, this was hour number three of Bart and Han. So what's that mean?
It's the conclusion of the Power Hour. Knicks in six.
Oh, we went six. We shall see. Enjoy game one tonight. We'll see y'all tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.